The passages that we hear today are loaded. At first glance, in our first hearing of these verses, it would seem that there's a lot packed into them, and that there are many different roads that we could go down, with lots of different ideas making up our readings for today. And this can seem pretty intimidating for us. But instead of becoming overwhelmed and not knowing where to go with these lessons, let's break it down a bit and make it more manageable. So how about a common theme throughout these readings? I think that one common theme that we find in both the Matthew and the Romans lessons for today is a theme of love, especially the love that we show our neighbors and the love that our neighbors show to us. Now, in my time here so far, this is one thing that I've noticed about this congregation. This gathering of called people is really good at love already. But I still think that in many cases, this is a good theme for us to hear and to ponder together. And I think that in the world that we live in, we can never hear about love enough. So let's dive in. Now, admittedly, the Matthew text for today can be a little tricky at first glance. And it takes a little work to reframe this into a language of love. What Jesus is telling us here, it would seem, is how we deal with one another when we're in conflict and disagreement. The first four verses of this passage seem to be just a list of rules in dealing with each other when we feel like someone has done us wrong. And if we don't follow them, or the person that we're confronting doesn't follow them, it would seem that, well, we're lost, or they're just plain out of luck. After all, if someone doesn't listen to us, even when we've gone through all of these steps, we're supposed to just disregard them. To me, in this light, these verses seem a little harsh. And maybe these verses seem so harsh because we are looking at them through a lens of strict discipline. In this frame of mind, they seem like strict rules with not much wiggle room that need to be followed to the letter. But perhaps, maybe we need to look at these verses, these guidelines, in the light of mutual reconciliation instead. Maybe we need to look at what Jesus is saying here with love on our minds instead of revenge or getting even. Here, I think that Jesus is trying to tell us the importance of loving community, who hears each other out, and the importance of being better together. It would seem that instead of focusing on the harshness of these verses, we should instead focus on the restoration that we find here. The restoration of the individual and the restoration of the whole community together. Instead of taking what might seem like the easy way out of just writing someone off because they make us angry and using these verses to do just that, we are instead called to the hard work of living in community with each other, of being in relationship with those that we encounter not only in these walls, but really all the people that we encounter. Instead of focusing on harsh rules that make us for an us versus them situation, we should really focus on the importance of how we relate to one another in love. Instead of focusing on how others may have wronged us, maybe we should focus on what it would take for us to come back together as a loving community. And this is where our Romans text for today can pick up. Here, Paul gives us a list of commandments, but also quickly points out that these commandments can easily be boiled down to a message of love. But it isn't just a simple kind of love that Paul is calling us to. It's not just a saying that we love out of obligation or an overarching kind of love. But instead, Paul is calling us to a genuine kind of love, a love that really hones in and is particular. In ancient Rome, the community to which Paul was writing would have been very well versed in the language of obligation and owing things to other people. In that culture, honor and respect was owed to the emperor and other political leaders. Money, possessions, and even oneself were owed to others like masters or benefactors. Women owed respect and submission to men, and on this list of owing and obligation would have gone, and it could have meant some pretty heavy things for those people. And this language of owing and obligation can mean some pretty heavy things for us today, too. We might know all too well the language of owing and having to meet certain societal and personal obligations. But here, Paul is instead trying to make the point that love isn't owed just because it's a societal norm. Instead, the kind of love that Paul is talking about should be genuine. We shouldn't show love just because we have to or are obligated to. Instead, the love that we show others should really come from our care for them as a person who God has created and cares for too. Our love for them should come from our realization that we are completely dependent on God's grace ourselves. So why wouldn't others be too? Why shouldn't we offer this forward to others as well as ourselves? Our understanding of this reality really does affect the ways that we relate to our neighbors and those around us. This reality is a constant reminder of God's love for us through Jesus and the cross, and God's promise that God will be with us always, in all circumstances. We are reminded that we were once and for all offered grace for our own screw-ups and sin, and that we should once and for all offer grace and forgiveness and love to others because of this too. And this is what takes us back once more to our Matthew passage for this morning. And it leads us to a good reminder. All too often in our endeavors to love others and perhaps to even love ourselves, we feel a heavy burden. Love is hard work. Living in community is hard work. Offering grace to others is hard work. And sometimes it might feel like we are taking on all of this hard work by ourselves. It might feel like this hard work is inspired by God, but when it comes down to it, we are left alone to do it ourselves. But this is where we need to pause and think about what God has called us to and what God promises us. Because even when we feel alone in our work to love others and to live in community, we need to remember that this isn't the case. We aren't alone because God promises us that God is with us always. We hear Jesus speak this promise to us this morning when he tells his disciples that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with them. We hear the promise that when we are called into community to love one another, we aren't called into that hard work alone, but are instead invited into a community of fellow people and God all together. And this we hear of the love that we have to offer others, the love that they offer us, and most importantly, the love that God has for all of us.